It's Marketplace Tech for November 3rd. I'm Ben Johnson in New York. We got new quarterly earnings numbers from Facebook yesterday. The company beat expectations with $7 billion in revenue, impressive growth over the number this time last year, which was about $4.5 billion. A bunch of that revenue comes from Facebook advertising. Well, in our news feed this week is a report from ProPublica highlighting the fact that Facebook seems to be engaging in a problematic ad selling practice, allowing buyers to target their advertising towards or exclude certain racial groups. ProPublica reporter Julia Engwin is on the line. Julia, ad companies have done this kind of thing for years. What makes this tool at Facebook different?
What's different about what Facebook is doing is that it offers advertisers a way to combine two categories that are extremely sensitive. One is race, but also in an exclusionary way, meaning you can remove people from being able to see the ad. And the other is there are two categories of ads, housing and employment, where the law is very clear that you cannot advertise in ways that excludes people by race. So we have the Fair Housing Act and we have Title VII of the Civil Rights Act of 1964. Both of those laws have very explicit rules about ads, because it used to be that there were ads that said whites only for jobs and for housing.
Race, to some degree, does affect culture and what we buy, right? I can see why a company might want to target a specific group. How is Facebook going to navigate this?
The thing that's very surprising, I think, to the lawyers I've spoken to who looked at this is that there's no automatic flag. Like, if you go in and you buy an ad the way that we at ProPublica did, which says, I want to target this as people who are looking for housing and I want to exclude all these ethnicities, it doesn't pop up with a thing saying what you're trying to do is illegal, right? It just says, okay, great. And then our ad was approved in 15 minutes.
So it sounds like there's certain kinds of advertising that is brass tacks illegal, but Facebook is casting such a broad net in what it's allowing people to do that it hasn't kind of figured out how to stop that stuff yet.
That's right. And it's worth pointing out that, you know, back in the day when newspapers were as important and powerful as Facebook, almost all the big papers were sued under the Fair Housing Act. And they all claimed the same thing that Facebook is saying now, which is it's really not our responsibility. The advertisers shouldn't be putting in all these ads. We don't want to have to read them all and see if they're racist.
Interesting. So who won that battle?
The newspapers lost, and they had to start screening their ads. And I think Facebook, you know, that we're now going to face a test of whether Facebook has to do the same type of thing, and it's going to be an interesting legal question.
Julia Engwin, she's a reporter with ProPublica. Julia, thank you very much for talking to me.
Thanks so much.
A startup called Holler is announcing a new $30 million haul in venture capital funding today. Also an expansion of its warehouse from 50,000 feet to 180,000 feet. What does Holler do? It sells stuff online. More specifically, very inexpensive stuff. As a New York resident, I want to call them tchotchkes. The company is growing, though, with a mission to be the online retail version of your neighborhood dollar store. David Yeom is the CEO of Holler. David, thanks for chatting. Tell me about your users and who they are.
Over 80%, I would say, classifies as that millennial female. And so, you know, 80% of all the transactions and action that's happening on Holler is being done on her phone.
Is there really a hunger for this kind of stuff?
Oh, we are about deals and delight. You know, the dollar store is an alternative to basically their grocery store, you know, where they go to buy consumables and, you know, kind of life's everyday needs. We were more of discretionary, just, you know, gifts for friends, et cetera, or just things that's going to just put a smile on my face.
Do you ever worry about contributing to too much junk in the world?
You know, for us, we're actually part of the solution.
Come on, really?
No, we eventually find a place for a lot of these things because they're sitting in warehouses. They're sitting, you know, amongst wholesalers, et cetera. We eventually find its kind of resting place for the end user.
Is there a happy medium somewhere, like in terms of providing really, really, really inexpensive items and providing higher quality stuff?
We're of the belief that a great deal doesn't have to mean you have to sacrifice the experience. You know, that is our, you know, first and foremost priority, customer delight, that they are getting amazing value and having a great experience.
The elephant in the room here is obviously Amazon, a company with more revenue streams than profit streams, sure, but but their plan of world domination seems to be working. How are you going to carve out a space in their world?
We are all about
this. I mean, there's a lot of cheap stuff on Amazon.
Oh, yes.
I'm saying.
Look, I mean, I know that the way I interact with Amazon is I think of something, purchase intent. Uh-huh. When people come to Holler, they are not searching. They are just browsing and discovering, oh, this is really cool. Oh, check this out. So it's more of a virtual mall, per se.
If a company like Amazon offered to buy you today, what would be your price? How many items would you make them buy in order to check out and close the deal?
Well, I would say, you know, we're days away from our one-year anniversary. So, you know, we're just getting started.
David Yeom, he is CEO of the company Holler. David, thank you very much for talking to me.
Glad to be here. Thank you.
And from startups to a tech giant, ShadeFest. Google announced details this week on a key vulnerability in the Windows operating system software that could let hackers in. Message being that Google was sick of waiting around for Microsoft to fix the hole and wanted users to know about it. Shade. Microsoft returned said tech shade. A statement from Microsoft said, in part, that the disclosure could, quote, put customers at potential risk, complaining that the companies should have collaborated more. It's all about the customer, except when it's all about the companies getting mad at each other. We put some useful information about all of this on the website of another tech giant, facebook.com/marketplacetech. I'm Ben Johnson, and that's our show today. This is APM.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.